Welcome one and all once again to Duel Wielding episode 143. I am joined this week by Martin.
Hello!
Daniel.
Hola.
And Jason.
Hi.
So yeah, this week we're going to really kind of just jettison what you've been playing. We'll probably do that for the next 2 or 3 weeks anyhow because of E3. Just real quick, I've been playing Mario Kart 8. If you haven't seen the reviews or the footage or haven't played a Mario Kart game, I honestly don't know what to tell you. You're getting more Mario Kart, which is great. If you're not into Mario Kart,
have you used the Mercedes-Benz DLC?
The Mercedes-Benz DLC, which you will get to later. Well, I guess you could talk about it now. Actually doesn't come out until the summer. As of right now, it's only for Japan.
But I wanted to drive in a bit in a Mercedes-Benz. Damn you, Nintendo. I would have bought a Wii U for that.
It should be German exclusive DLC.
I don't get why it's Japan. Oh, I mean, it could come out elsewhere sooner or later, but right now it's only been announced in Japan. And the way people reacted, you would think their mother got shot or something.
Well, it's just like Nintendo's the one company that you'd never expect to do this.
They have been telling us this entire year that they're looking for new licensing opportunities. When we heard that, most people assumed, like, oh, maybe a movie, a TV show. Nobody thought, like, oh, we'll have a real-life car, Mario Kart. But there you go. Them's the breaks. I mean, it's free DLC, so that's it. You know, you don't have to pay for it. It's optional, so you don't have to get it. And it's not, as Eggly said, right now it's only in Japan, and because of Nintendo's wonderful system, it means the rest of the world can't get it if they wanted to anyhow.
How would that work, though? Because, like, maybe Mario Kart 8 is designed so this will never happen, but, like, if somebody from the US or Europe was racing with somebody in Japan, and that person in Japan had
Mercedes.
He chose the Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, I don't know how it worked at all. Maybe it's
I would assume that the car will probably be part of the patch, and you only unlock it for yourself if you download, like, some small file that just unlocks it.
Probably.
I really don't know. It was just it's a weird thing. I think more than the car, the commercial was just out there.
I personally didn't mind it. I thought it was totally it's totally a fine thing to do.
You don't
have to use the car if you don't like it.
It's a weird, like I said, it was weird how people reacted, because I get that it's product placement, but people act like Mario's the virtue of not selling out. I mean, the guy does anything. I don't know why this is the breaking point for people. He's been on cereals, he's been on Got Milk commercials, he's been SpaghettiOs, he does gum, he does soda. I guess because this is the first time it's kind of reflected back into his actual game.
Yeah. And not to mention, is it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb because we have like a whimsical world with fucking like clouds with faces on them and turtles that fucking drive cars, and then we've got Mario in a Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah,
you don't think a Mercedes is whimsical?
I do think they should have kind of dolled it up a bit more. A couple of people did Photoshop versions of it in red, and it looks much better in red in the game. The silver does stand out. I think because it's a monochrome color, and it's not, I mean, Mario is all about colors, and having like that one gray.
Yeah, a gray car.
Yeah, it really does stick out like a sore thumb. So yeah, but We'll get to Nintendo more later on with their E3 presence and other stuff.
Yeah. Let me ask you something about Mario Kart.
Yeah.
How are the battle mode tracks?
I wanted to be fair. I went in with an open mind, even though I kind of expected it to be Gash. And I played 2 rounds, and I think that's it for my battle mode experience, if they patch it or something. Like, it's like I said, I do think it was a novel idea. It just wasn't fitted. It wasn't designed at all. I did three. I did one with the computer on my local Wii U, and then I did two online. And what happens is you end up seeing nobody for long stretches of time. So I'm just driving around. And what happens is you drive around and everybody else is driving around. So you don't see anybody because you're all on the same speed. So what eventually happens is either you come across people when the paths crisscross or you end up kind of turning around. And the biggest problem is the game doesn't really have a way for you to turn around quickly. It's not designed for that to happen. So usually what happens is I find a wide open space and I just kind of do like a donut until I can turn around. And then what happens there is you'll come across people going in the other direction and you pass each other by and don't hit anything. So it's either one of you are going to have to turn around or you're just going to have to wait until you cross paths again. So basically nothing happens for long periods of time and it's really, really dull.
I really don't understand why Nintendo did that. Like,
it's just as bad as a design decision as everyone thought it would be.
I guess their idea was we already have these courses people are familiar with. Let's just cut out pieces of them and make them battle modes, which I think would have worked well if they had designed it in such a way. Like, one, the racetracks aren't really meant for, like, they aren't meant for turns. They're very narrow paths, so it's not like you can get out of room to maneuver. And the other thing is, like, they didn't design it so it kind of loops back around. It's just too wide. And I guess their thinking was, like, we have 12 players. We want to accommodate 12 different people on the board. But if it scales down, which is probably going to happen a lot more often after everybody gives it once or twice, it's like there's nothing going on if there's less than 12 people because you don't run into each other enough. And then even when you do, you don't get enough weapons for that because you usually get green shells and bananas, which are more items you get when you're in close proximity and chasing somebody, not more like, oh, crap, I missed somebody, and now I'm screwed because I'm not going to see anybody for a long time. The other change I found weird, and I don't know if this was in previous ones, I don't remember, I don't think it was, is that when you use your three balloons, you stay on the course and you can still attack people. You just can't get attacked. So it's kind of like if you ever play like the Bomberman games where they have like the ghosts where you can kind of go in the outer rims and you could bomb somebody.
Yeah, that's terrible. I always deactivate that.
That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
I guess it's because, and it's really kind of weird because now the game has a time limit as well. So it's not even like, oh, we don't want somebody to sit out there for like 10 minutes while they ask two people to try to battle it out because the max time limit is five minutes. So it's a really, like, a lot of weird concessions in battle mode.
It may sound like that they knew it was bad and they just tried to hack it up as much as possible to make it not as bad as it actually was.
I mean, that's a possibility. It's a good thing that everything else in this game works and works well. They made a lot of novel changes to the actual mechanics of the game. I think personally the biggest for me is the fact that you can only have two items. In previous games, you could drag an item behind you and grab another one from the item box. If you drag an item behind you, that's still your item. So it's more of a strategy of just trying to keep an item or risking it up if you want something better in the box. And I guess the other thing would kind of be...
And you like that change?
No, I don't mind it. It does add more elements of strategy if you're in first place because... if you're in the top three, really. Because what happens if you're in the top three, which you tend to get more often than not, are coins. And that's not really useful as an offensive or defensive weapon, so that's fine. But it's like, do you give up your green shell in hopes of getting a horn? Or do you give up your green shell and then you get a coin or a banana peel, which doesn't defend you from the blue shell?
That makes sense, because, normally in first, you'd have an item behind you because the only way you can get hit is from behind.
Yeah.
And then you'd grab another one to say, look, okay, if I get hit, I've already got another item.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, it's all about balance because there is a way to kind of defend against the blue shell now as well, which is a great feeling when you do it for the first time. Then the super horn's super rare. The courses look really nice. Fantastic music. I have the replay functionality. It's a very novel feature, especially from Nintendo. Especially being that they went out of their way to make it a design element of the game, where Mario TV is a part of the game. You can actually see like Mario TV people filming the races. They take Mario TV balloons with like Toads filming. Mario TV shows all the replays. Mario TV is the name of the share and function and all that stuff. So it's nice that they went the extra step. And it's not just to say, oh, yeah, you saved the races. It's like, no, there's actual people recording this, and this is what they caught for you. And They don't give you direct control. Like, you can't pick the angles yourself. You can't, like, focus on... But they do give you a lot of different options for you to kind of say... Kind of put together a video. Like, okay, you're going to focus on me. You're going to focus on my friend. You can, I think you can focus on 4 or 5 people if you want. You can only focus on one person. It will just show you. You can kind of focus on action. You can focus on big hits. You can focus on racing. So there's a lot of different options that they give you. And then you can stretch together... I don't know if we talked about this after Nintendo and the YouTube stuff again. But, yeah, you can upload it to YouTube and...
Well, they will proceed to take it down if you're unlucky.
But they won't take it down.
No, that has happened.
Has it? With this?
People have been copyright claimed on the Mario Kart TV videos that the game has generated.
That is interesting. I guess it's a system they need to work on. But, yeah, it's a really fun game. It's really nice looking. I do think they kind of overdone it with the N-Sphere in some stages. I think they have that Halo 4 syndrome. But, really fun game. Really worth checking out. And based on my Wii U experience, everybody who has a Wii U is buying this game. So it should sell like 10 copies at most. Anyhow, we got a twofer there. So let's go to news that isn't Nintendo for now before we go back to Nintendo. We got two big delays this week with Quantum Break and The Order 1886.
Well, to this point, I think this is really silly, because especially with Quantum Break, because we don't know what the game is yet. Like, what is it? Oh, here's a gameplay teaser. No, don't fucking tease it for me. I want to see the gameplay. If you're going to delay it, at least tell us what it's going to be.
Well, we have seen a bit of a gameplay, and basically it was a third-person cover-based shooter.
With explosions and slow-mo. Yeah, the one thing I was not keen on with that was that it's one thing to kind of say it's delayed, here's some gameplay, but it's not like it's delayed, here's some gameplay that you're going to see the full thing at E3 in 2 weeks. It's like, here's some gameplay, and you'll see the full thing in 2 months at Gamescom. And that was really strange.
I mean, this is the studio that announced Alan Wake with the 360 and release it 5 years later, so...
Yeah, I guess it was just a... I mean, I really didn't expect it this year, because I think this was the first we actually saw gameplay. Like, there was in-game footage at the VGX, but that wasn't gameplay, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that was when you actually saw, like, some of the cover-based shooting.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we had seen... I think even now, we have seen at most maybe 30 seconds of the actual game.
Maybe
so, yeah.
Even less.
Yeah, I think less than that, too. I think it's more like 10 seconds.
So yeah. I don't know why people were expecting it this year. And I think this is something we'll do next week with the actual E3, the pre-E3 show. But I'm kind of curious how Microsoft and Sony's promise from last year has panned out, with I think it was 20 and 16 games apiece for the first year.
I don't know why anyone even pays attention to numbers like that. I'm never like, oh, cool, so many games. It usually never pans out.
Oh, no, it doesn't, but that's why I wanted to kind of, it's been a year, I wanted to reflect on how they're doing with that. Even though I think Sony's actually doing well based on the list somebody gave me, I think it's like 15 or 16 titles for the year, but when you look at it, it's like half of them are ports of PS3 titles, so that's
only going to continue.
But yeah, that's the thing. But I mean, technically, they didn't say it was 20 new games.
Yeah, true.
If we're going by the other, they are. I mean, they're both right. They're both right. It's just really, really sketchy. Which, as Martin says, is why you shouldn't take these promises at face value.
Yeah.
Usually never.
Also, I mean, from what we've heard, I mean, this will probably be like the story of E3. Like, the game you were looking forward to, probably coming out next year.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, and to be fair, it's like the story of a lot of E3s.
Well, yeah, I think the difference here is that a lot of these games are kind of repeats of stuff we've seen last year. It is nice that a lot of them are getting it out of the way. Like Quantum Break, we know it's now... I assume it's going to have a trailer at E3, but we don't have to look forward to it because we know it's not going to be gameplay.
Yep.
The Order, we're going to see more of at E3, but we kind of have an idea. They gave us a 2-minute sample of the gameplay. Whatever we think of that, they did give us a sample, so we know we're going to see more of it at E3. But yeah, it was kind of a bad week for kind of current gen consoles, because these were, I think, two of the big fall titles that people couldn't think. We really don't have much as far as excuses from either of these companies for the remainder of the year, not even the end of the year. And I guess we'll get into that next week more, and especially after E3 when we kind of have a lineup for both of them. And somewhat more exciting E3 news for some of us, well, okay, one of us, which is me, Sony announced that they are going to be hosting the PlayStation E3 press conference at 46 movie theaters throughout North America, including the United States and Canada. It's not a big deal for Jason because he's actually going, and neither of you two are in the States, so that doesn't help.
Yeah.
I probably
would go anyway because I'd just rather sit in my chair.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, even if I was going to be at home, I would probably just watch it at home so I could do something else while I'm watching it.
Yeah, that's kind
probably,
of... I mean,
probably wear no pants.
Yeah.
But, see, that's always been my conflict with Sony's press conference for the last couple of years, is that it comes on the same time as wrestling. And I know, ever, but it's...
Although, saying that, in Europe, it wouldn't make sense to do it in Europe anyway.
No, because they time zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did get tickets for it just in case. You know, I'd rather have tickets than not go, than want to go and not have tickets. And it seems like a couple of people... the main reason I want to go is because they're giving out free stuff, and I can never turn down free stuff.
What, you're telling me that you're not going just to see Big Jeff Keighley on the big screen?
Big Jeff Keighley, who's getting around this
E3. Jeff Keighley won't be at the Sony presser.
No, he's going to be at the...
No, he's in the Sony... He's doing the... part of the fee for Sony's getting broadcast to movie theaters. Well as he's also whoring himself out to Nintendo for the Smash Brothers Invitational as well.
Like I said, just Joey's getting around for E3. But I do think it's a great idea, and I think Microsoft announced something similar. Not the movie theater, but they are announcing stuff, and it seems like a lot of companies, Nintendo did this last year, and they're doing it again this year. It's like they're taking E3 beyond... Well, they're taking it beyond the press conferences, but they're also taking it beyond LA as much as they can. Microsoft announced they'll be streaming on Twitch the entire week, and they'll be showing like 2 indie games per day or per hour, something like that. But they're also hosting like events. Microsoft is different because they're hosting events within the area, but they are hosting different events. You know, they're hosting one for you to get into E3. They're hosting one where you can come and play some games early and stuff like that. Nintendo's doing the Best Buy thing with Smash Brothers, and now Sony's showing their games at a movie theater. So they are trying to expand the reach of these E3 press conferences and these events, and it's kind of novel. And
that is cool, and that's something that, you know, Nintendo's kind of done the last couple of years, and I think everyone's really, you know, obviously not everyone gets to go to E3, so it's really cool.
Yeah, it's a centralized news phase, but there's no reason that it has to be a centralized event for consumers, which is really cool. So I'm really kind of curious to see how this all pans out for them. And like I said, with Microsoft announced this, Sony usually does it, Nintendo did it last year, they're doing it this year. It's also kind of curious how much role they're taking away from journalists because they are streaming and covering their own games.
Well, that's a bad thing. Depends on who you follow on Twitter, because some of them are like, ugh. Have to go to E3. What a fucking...
Yeah, which they do complain about. But a lot of, like I said, because Microsoft is going to have streaming on Twitch, Nintendo is going to have the Treehouse, Sony usually does that stuff. And, you know, if you want wall-to-wall coverage, you don't have to go to Game Trailers, you don't have to go to IGN. You can stick to the company. Granted, you get this huge filter, but it's not any different than like, when GameSpot people have people up on the stage and it's like, oh, tell us about this wonderful game you're showing, and you know, it's like whatever. But it's cool. You get a lot of content, and it sounds like if you want, there's going to be a ton of streaming stuff throughout E3 if you want to see any games.
And at least it means that if one streaming site goes down, you can just swap to another feed and still get something to watch.
Yeah. Except most of them seem to be on Twitch, so go Twitch. I guess this is going to raise up their prices for YouTube, for Google. Also announced this week, I guess we're going to skip this and come back to it, but Battlefield Hardline, this is, I think we gave Ubisoft credit for this earlier in the year, and I have to give EA credit for this as well. Pretty much everything about this game leaked, and instead of trying to hide behind it or saying it's not real, EA's just like, yeah, this is an actual game. This is the name, and this is what we expect for it. It's out this year. It's on, like, Xbox and PlayStation console.
Well, let's be honest, though. That game has been the worst-kept secret ever. I feel like I've known about it for, like, at least half a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
surprise,
I mean,
surprise, they're gonna make a new Battlefield game. That one coming.
But
the one surprise has been that Visceral's working on it. At least
I have known that as well.
I thought that was the rumor as well. I thought that's why they were taking off a Dead Space.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yes, it was rumored and whatever. But I give credit for them for fessing. Granted, it was really hard for them to say it didn't exist with all that stuff that was leaking. Yeah. Like, it would have been one or two things if it was the name and an icon. But it was like weapons, it was like perks, it was like stages, and then a trailer. Not even a trailer, it's like 5-minute footage.
It was an internal demonstration, actually. Like, the game was called Omaha.
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah. But all this stuff, and it's like, I mean, they announced it before the in-house demonstration.
Yeah, it's even funnier because they were, oh yeah, it leaked, here's all information, and then that thing came out, so I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, it's like, and then they came out and it's like, yeah, that's actually it, but I think it's like 5 months old or something like that.
Yeah, 5 or 6 months, yeah.
It looks interesting, it actually has my interest. I think the idea of cops and robbers is novel, and it's basically Payday with a budget.
Yeah, the thing is, I thought the game mode sounded really fun, and the thing though for me is, it's so obvious that this game didn't have to be called Battlefield, because it doesn't really resemble anything that Battlefield has.
Yeah, but you need to sell copies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's called Battlefield because that's the only shooter franchise EA has that sells.
And I would be interested in Hardline if it wasn't published by EA, if they weren't going to push a premium DLC fucking season pass, if DICE could launch multiplayer games that actually worked on launch.
What is it? This is DICE, so technically it could work.
The multiplayer is done by DICE.
Oh.
Is it?
Yeah. The single player is this one, the multiplayer is DICE.
Yeah, it's
pretty much Medal of Honor.
More broken than the... the multiplayer was even more broken than the single player in Battlefield 4, so...
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I do like how they were trying to sell, keep on saying the war on crime, which I just assume is what people do at their jobs. It's like, nobody calls it the war on crime.
Nope. It's just, they want to justify the name so bad.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is really trying too hard. Just
and they were like, tanks and jets in it, it's like... War and crime. Tanks.
That's how we make most of our arrests.
I don't know about you, but I've never seen, like, a criminal in real life use a military jet or a tank.
Well, you haven't watched 24, apparently. But yeah, it looks interesting enough. My interest is peaked, but EA is probably going to ruin it between now and, I assume, the end of October.
Good at that.
Yeah. And speaking of leaks, because this is the season, Project Beast update. The fact that we're still not acknowledging that this game exists, even though we have a trailer from Software, we have footage, we have enemies, we have a main character. But we don't know if it's an actual game.
No, of course not. No, I thought the footage is kind of low-resy, but... It looks pretty cool. I like that it actually really is a shotgun that he had in his offhand. That seems potentially really cool. And I thought what we couldn't make out before on the screenshots is that he has like this sword sky thing that it's kind of like a huge switchblade. Which he can, like, he has it, like, folded up, and then he encounters a boss or something, and then he folds his weapon out, and it seems like an entirely different thing. That could potentially be interesting, like, to have, like, one weapon which has, like, different properties depending on how you want to use it. I mean, I am someone who played the Souls game, so for me that is immediately interesting, and I can see potential in that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played any of the Souls game, and I'm happy to show for Microsoft right here, Dark Souls is free game for gold this month, and that starts on, well, this will be out by the time this podcast goes up, so that's when I'm going to check it out. But it looks nice, it has a really nice atmosphere to it. Where it kind of uses fog in a sense that in a way that makes sense. like, I want to say it's nice, but at the same time, like, it was only, like, one-on-one encounters for the most part in that trilogy, so it's easy to always make one-on-one encounters look decent.
Yeah, well, I think also, if it's going to be a spiritual successor to Souls, the encounters won't get any bigger than that, not really. The most you face at one time is, like, five things.
Yeah. Well, there are some moments where there can be at least one moment very early on, the first Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah.
Encounter, like, more than five, but,
yeah, but it's
rare. It's really rare. And if that happens, it's usually a bunch of weak enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, on the bright side, it does. At least I haven't played. I assume it means that there's a lot of unique enemies in the game, and you have to figure out their strategies and stuff.
Oh, like the game has the whole point of the game is that. That's the entire point.
Yeah.
So usually they have lots of unique designs, which is great.
Yeah.
It's better than having the same enemy over and over again and having a bunch of them. So yeah, I mean, it looks nice, and people are extremely excited for it. Like I said, I have no experience with the franchise, but I am curious to check it out for free this month.
It's cool. So you had the patience for Monster Hunter, so you should probably be fine with Dark Souls.
Yeah, it's just a single player Monster Hunter.
Well,
it's not on a grand scale, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, we also had announcements, I think this was yesterday, of The Wolf Among Us and The Walking Dead Season 1 and 2, I believe, coming to
Season 2, I think.
No, it's both.
Okay.
Yeah.
I only saw the peck shot for season 2, that's one.
Yeah, I think season 1 was hidden in there, but...
Ah, okay.
My question with this is, can we translate, or transfer save data over from last gen to current gen? Because that's
I'm gonna say no.
I know, it seems like no, because if you could, they'd be talking about that.
Yeah.
My question is, hang on. They haven't announced this before? Like, I thought this was already a thing that was coming anyway.
I was totally expecting it. That's why I think I said before on here that I've been waiting for both of those to come out on PS4 because...
I can run this on whatever the fuck I want as so long as it's got a screen on it right now. So, you know, I don't... Yeah, it's not a surprise to me.
They're even on Ouya.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus, really?
Yes, they are.
Well, Walking Dead is, at least. I don't know about
Season
Walking
1 and 400 Days, at the very least, is on Ouya. And Season 2 is coming to Ouya.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there you
expect
go.
Expect all the future titles also to be on everything.
Yes, well, I mean, I imagine they wanted to make the transition at some point eventually. But it's not a very huge graphical showcase. I imagine the engine scales well.
No.
But no, the engine will run like crap, because it runs like crap on everything.
Yeah, it's not to say it runs crap in general, so that doesn't count.
I just wanted to play it with my PS4 pad. That's actually kind of the main reason. I thought the gamepad implementation on the Mac wasn't that great.
But the gameplay, well, I've always played Season 1. The pure actual gameplay isn't that great to begin with.
No, but the Season 2 interface is worse than Season 1's.
Really?
Season 1 is, like, bearable on a PC. Season 2 is worse.
Also, the thing for me was I wanted to wait until the whole season is out.
Yeah, I don't blame
you. Because
me.
The last time, it was kind of hard to wait in between.
Not to mention, Telltale just decides to delay an episode and not fucking tell anybody.
Exactly. So I thought, like, let's wait until the whole thing is out and then buy it, maybe even potentially on a sale, which usually happens when the whole season's over. So,
yeah, sometimes at the start. I think I have a season pass for The Wolf Among Us, which I should really cash in at some point.
Yeah, me too. Or I bought the season pass because it was on sale sometime.
Yeah. I think episode 1 was on sale with the season pass, and somebody ended up buying 2 and gave me theirs. So I downloaded it, and I've never played it, but I have it if I want to. And I guess the final big game announcement... the final game announcement of this weekend, I'm a fan, was Lego Batman Beyond Gotham. Lego Batman 3 Beyond Gotham.
You mean
Gotham.
Lego Justice League?
I don't know who the Justice League is. Are they Batman sidekicks? But yeah, I thought it was kind of strange with Ego Batman 2, where they didn't call it a Justice League game either. Granted, after you've played it, you kind of understand because they show up like the last two or three missions. I think Superman's there from the get-go, but the rest of them show up later on.
Still, a lot of DC characters just show up through the whole thing.
Yeah. This one, it's like it's, well, one, it's in space, but it looks like the Justice League is a huge part of it. I mean, there's the Justice League, the Legion of Doom's in it, the main villain is Brainiac, who's a Superman villain. And this one doesn't even say the Justice League or anything, that it's not a Batman game. It's beyond Gotham.
It's purely a marketing thing.
I understand why, because Batman is their most marketable character, where Marvel has just Marvel now. Like, Marvel's a brand.
Yeah.
It's Marvel the Avengers. It's Marvel.
The thing, yeah, though, is it's not really consumers' fault, but more like WB's fault that this happened.
Well, it's
let's be honest, yeah.
It's a bit of both. I think what happened is that Batman hit at the right moment, because between the movie and the cartoon, he's kind of had a mainstay presence for the past 30 years.
Yeah, but I mean, DC and WB both dropped the ball when it came to all their other heroes.
Well, I mean, I kind of agree, but I also think it's one of those things where it's like, we have this character that people want. And, like, I mean, Superman's been decent in that time frame, but, like, everybody else, yeah, they kind of taken a back burner. And this is part of being owned by a bigger company, is that Warner has so many properties that they never had to focus on DC. Because, I mean, for the past, you know, for a decade, they had Harry Potter, they had Lord of the Rings, they had all these franchises. It's like, yeah, we already have these multi-billion-dollar franchises. Why do we need more DC characters when Batman does it for us? But now they're kind of running out, and it's like, crap, now we have to push them. And now Batman's the figurehead, and he's being used to push everybody else, which is why we have Batman versus Superman, and not Superman versus Batman.
Yeah, even though it's a Superman sequel.
Yeah, that, I'm still bitter about that one. But, yeah, the game, I mean, it's an Echo game. I won't even say it looks good. It's a CG trailer, but it's an Echo game, so you kind of know what to expect, especially for the third one.
It will probably be fun and funny.
And it will be like every other Lego game ever made.
At least probably like the other open world ones.
Yeah, if anything, it will be like Lego Batman 2 in space. Well, I guess it wouldn't be. I'm kind of curious how it's broken up, because you can't really do open world in space.
Well, you can.
We'll see. Like, I mean, I guess it's a Lego game, so they don't have to play by the rules. I just figured it would be boring, because there's not a lot to do in space. So, yeah. Anything else you folks want to talk about before we move over to Nintendo at E3?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So, Nintendo at E3, we've done Microsoft and we've done Sony. Before we kind of get to what we expect and what they've announced, I guess we might as well talk about their week in review. We kind of mentioned the Mario Kart 8 Mercedes-Benz DLC. They also announced Pushmo and Pull Box Roll for the Wii U, which is out June 19th. I'm excited for that. Huge fan of the franchise, the brand. And again, I hope they're short turnarounds with these games. It's out in 2 weeks, I guess. But I assume that's probably going to be part of what we see at E3, a bunch of like these little downloadable titles announced from them. To fill in the gaps between their major retail releases, especially when they don't have any third-party support.
Yeah, Nintendo's getting really good at that, actually. Just going, oh, here's a thing that we made, you can download it now. And it turns out, and things that turn out to be pretty good. I mean, Pushmo is popular on 3DS, so why not make it on the Wii U? Because people will lap those games up. And I think it's kind of smart, like, releasing Mario Kart just before E3 as well, because it means that people still remember that Nintendo exists. Like, they're playing Mario Kart, oh, it's E3, let's see what Nintendo's got for us, you know?
I think it's smart before summer, too, because it's one of those games that people will just keep playing over the summer. You know, you'll go over to a friend's house, they'll happen to have a Wii U, you guys will fire it up, you know. It'll have a big word of mouth spread.
Oh, free. As long as nobody plays battle mode.
I think Nintendo made sure of that.
But yeah, the other thing was the announcement, well, the Smash Brothers tournament details and stuff like that. I don't know if any of you are into the Smash Brothers competitive scene.
No.
Okay, so we can skip over that stuff.
In fact, I loathe it for ruining Smash.
So well, how did they ruin Smash, can I ask?
Because it makes everybody only want to play Final Destination with no items and do all this stupid stuff when it's supposed to be a party game.
Which is kind of the reaction you got with the rules. A lot of people are upset that I think the first three rounds of the tournament have items on, even though that is a core component of the franchise. But yeah, it's whatever. We don't really need to go into the actual details, and none of us are probably informed enough to actually say comment on the rules and the participants and the announcers or anything like that. But the I guess the big announcement for people was the announcement of the GameCube controller adapter for the Wii U.
I don't understand this. Like, well, actually, no, I do, kind of. I know there are people out there that want to play with the GameCube controller, and that's fine, right? But yes. Nintendo said, we are going to have to prove the worth of the gamepad. And now they're just saying, oh, yeah, don't fucking worry about that stupid thing.
That's just for this specific game, though.
They also have a fucking Pro controller.
Yeah.
That's what I would use, a way better controller.
The GameCube controller is fucking terrible. The C-stick sucks. The shoulder buttons are clacky as hell. When I hear someone play Smash Bros, it's the worst thing ever.
And this is it. Like, you have a controller that you could be using. Now, you can have this fucking crappy 10-year-old thing. Don't worry about that fucking gamepad thing. You don't need it. You know?
I just don't understand what the drawback is to this thing. Like, some people just want to play it with a GameCube controller, and now they
can do
that.
It's just totally unnecessary.
It's unnecessary, but I think it's one of those things that a lot of people say they don't listen to their fans. I think it's a very niche product. It's the people who want to play Smash Bros. The GameCube controller. It's people who haven't given it up since May 8, you know, right or wrong. And it's catering to them because at this point they need anybody they can get to buy their system.
Is it now creating expectations that Nintendo has to support the fucking GameCube controller until the end of time?
But I kind of it's a weird situation. I understand.
And this is the thing, is we have this on the fucking 3DS with the fucking Circle Pad Pro, right? Why don't they fucking put it in the system? Now people are going to ask, why don't they just bundle a GameCube controller with the system? Why doesn't this game support a GameCube controller? Why doesn't that game support a GameCube controller?
Well, people say that now with the Pro controller, because not every game supports it. And it's going to be an issue.
Well, that actually is the controller that should be supported.
No. The controller that should be supported is the gamepad. That is the only controller that should be supported because that is the controller of the system. Anything else is an optional thing. So when you give... Yeah, I understand. Like, a lot of games do have it, but yeah. At the end of the day, there is one controller for... Okay, two controllers for the system with the remote. And that's, I think, where the problem comes in. This is going to be the fifth controller you can use with the system. And I don't know if anybody's going to really spend time catering to five different control schemes.
They don't have to, though.
This controller can literally work with one game,
and that's perfectly fine.
The point is...
No, because then expectations come in because
people are going to buy a GameCube controller, and then they're going to complain when a game doesn't support it.
Yeah, because what's going to happen now is that... you already kind of see the expectations. Oh, this means that the Virtual Console is getting GameCube games. It doesn't mean that. This means that I can now use the GameCube controller with the Wii mode, which doesn't necessarily mean that either.
But Nintendo's not saying any of that.
No, Nintendo's not saying anything, but that's the point. This is the expectations you built in by supporting it.
I completely disagree.
I'm not saying that's my viewpoint. I'm saying that's what people... This is what I've read throughout
Yeah, I've seen it as well.
Yeah, just go into any forum and look what the reaction is.
Yeah,
that's fine. Those people are wrong, but
yeah, because I mean, it's probably not going to. Like, I assume it's probably something the system's going to recognize, but I don't see it being something that Nintendo goes after. I don't see it being something. It's definitely not going to be something third parties go after.
Yeah,
because it's not going. Because one, it has less buttons than the actual standard controller for the system, because it has the Z button, but it doesn't have like a Z alternative on the F side and stuff like that. And it has... I like the GameCube controller. I'm a fan of the GameCube controller, but it also does have a very funky shape that worked for games designed around the GameCube, but very few else, which is why Ocarina of Time and even Mario 64 and that thing was kind of funky for the Virtual Console. But it's... Like I said, it's... it's a good product for their fan base. Like, there are people who swear by the GameCube controller for Smash Brothers, right or wrong, like I said. And it, you know, if it helps them to buy the system, if it helps them to buy, you know, if it gives them a reason to buy Smash Brothers on the Wii U, or, you know, it gives them less of a reason not to buy it, which I think is more important at this point, then that's fine. But that's all people should expect from it. That's all Nintendo's kind of announced with it. Like, anything beyond that, like every game using, being able to support it.
I mean, the controller, when they re-release it, it has a Smash logo on it. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's
so
clearly just a bone to the people who, you know,
yeah,
swear by this.
It's a bone for the crazy people.
Also, do we know how much this thing is going to be?
No, we don't know how much. Nintendo didn't
probably be
any,
$20.
Yeah. No, it's going to make $50.
I hope it's too much.
I expect that's going to be the next reaction. It's like, oh, this piece of plastic costs more than $1. Like, yeah, something stupid like that. And whatever. But yeah, it's novel in the sense that it's them kind of catering to a part of their fan base that they don't have to cater to. But I don't really like the idea of it. The reactions that I read in, like, is like, it's like, oh, this means that Nintendo doesn't support their original their controller or their original fish and all this other nonsense. And it's like, yeah, if they come out and say, like, every game at E3 is, oh, you're going to work with this GameCube peripheral, I'll give you that. But as of right now, the GamePad and the Wiimote still remains the dominant controllers for this system. And I assume it's going to stay that way for the rest of this generation.
And knowing Nintendo, the GameCube controller won't work in the main menu.
No, I mean, it's really, I don't think you can use the Pro controller on the main menu. I could be mistaken.
Yeah, that's
you
bad.
You can?
I know you can use the Wiimote.
I'm not even sure at this point.
Well,
and I had that thing.
I used it
with Monster Hunter, and I'm not even sure anymore.
Well, over time, they've changed it. I know, like, before it was only the GamePad. I know they've added the Wiimote, because I used that for, like, I'm kind of broken. I prefer Donkey Kong and Mario Kart with the Wiimote and Chuck set up from the Wii days. So that's my controller preference. I know you can use the Wiimote to start a game and stuff like that. There's certain stuff you can't do on the system without the GamePad. Like, you can't access the eShop without the GamePad. And you can't really do much on Miiverse without the GamePad. But other than that, I don't know about the classic controller. I don't think so, because there's no button to like, with the Wiimote, you have to point at the screen to get the menu. Because by default, the menu's on the GamePad. And, like, the Miiverse is up on the TV screen. So you need something to switch it. And there's no hot button on that. So that could be the case. But I don't know, honestly. I don't even have one. I don't get the point of it. I mean, it has the same exact layout as the GamePad. It's just smaller. So that's that. As far as E3 goes, we know that Nintendo isn't doing a traditional press conference again this year. Instead, they are doing the Nintendo Digital Event, which is, it sounds like a fancy version of the Nintendo Direct. I'm kind of excited for that now, because they do seem to have embraced the Nintendo Direct in a, the way I just described it is that they're your terrible uncle, the one who makes really bad jokes that nobody has said, but they continue to make it because it's funny to them. And they've kind of done that with the last few. The Smash Brothers one was like that. The Mario Kart one was like that.
Well, the Wii U one was like that when they announced the Wii U, because they had the specific action figure.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, even then, that was still kind of Iwata and stuff. This, like, these are kind of like productions with, like, you know, they have like skits and stuff like that. Really cheesy skits, but it works for their brand of humor. So I think it's going to have more of a production value than last year, where it was just Iwata announcing games and then, like, giving details and then a trillion and stuff like that. At least I hope it has more personality, I guess is what I'm trying to say, this year. Going into E3, I feel like we know the most about Nintendo this year.
I feel like I know the most about Microsoft, to be honest, but,
well, I guess going in, because we know that we are going to get Smash Brothers, that's going to be a big focus point, obviously. We know that we have Hyrule Warriors is this summer, so we're going to see more of that. Bayonetta is this summer in Japan. I assume we'll get a new trailer. We'll probably get an update on X. You know, the Pokemon.
Will we get an update on the Shin Megami Tensei Fire Emblem thing?
That I don't know, but that's out there. We have Yarn Yoshi's, which is a possibility out there. We have X, which I assume we're getting an update on because that's supposed to be out this year in Japan. We have Sonic Boom, which I assume will get a showcase because it's one of the exclusive third-party titles this year for them.
Oh, can I say one more thing about that game, by the way? If Sonic needed one thing any less than any other thing, it's one more shitty friend.
I was going to put that in the show notes, and I'm like, I really don't want to acknowledge this character. But yes, Sonic gets a new friend. I assume several others.
And it's just like it's just a shitty pun on the word on the Sonic Boom name as well.
I guess so. I didn't even think about it that way.
Boomsticks.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Our Sonic talk for this week.
I don't think we need to get into that any further. I assume we might see something on Monster Hunter 4G. Maybe the next Professor Layton. Maybe for us.
There isn't any more Professor Layton's. Oh no, because you don't have it yet, do you?
No,
you don't have it yet.
Yeah. Maybe Phoenix Wright. Like, I'm kind of curious if that, because actually, I don't really think there was that much of a focus on the 3DS lineup either.
That's true. Wasn't there? No, it was the year before last that we had a whole 3DS conference separate, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I assume like the 3DS is going to have stuff, but I feel like the 3DS, especially at E3, a handheld doesn't necessarily need as many showcase titles. And we do have an idea of what, like there's going to be a big 3DS title apparently because they are having that 3DS event like Wednesday night with the press for like 90 minutes. So everybody's saying that's going to be a big thing.
But they don't need to sell 3DSs anymore because they've got 42 million out there. So.
Well, they do because it's the only thing making them money right now.
The idea is to make it so the Wii U is also making them money.
Yeah. I'm just being facetious.
Yeah, and we kind of have an idea of 3DS. We have Smash Brothers. We have Pokemon Alpha and Omega. We have...
Academy.
Yeah, we have Pokemon Art Academy. And a lot of indie games in between that as well. So there are stuff, like, they do need more titles to throw in the bank, but right now, it's in a decent enough position, especially if it comes off of a decent... why is he barking? especially if it comes off a decent launch with the game that's out this week. But, yeah, so I expect the 3DS will have something, but I feel like it's going to be maybe an 80-20 split in favor of the Wii U. Or it should be.
It should be. Because every time there's a Nintendo Direct, all I hear is people complaining that they're talking about 3DS instead of the Wii U. So.
Well, it was because the 3DS had games, and I still think there's games. Like, I think there are a few games that they can still kind of announce for localization that we haven't gotten yet.
T4.
Yeah, like I usually say, I think their big things probably going to be okay. Kai will watch, which one week I will get right.
Yo-Kai.
And I think part of that is because because it's like a cross-media property like Sonic Boom, and I think that might be a good thing to kind of try to explain to people, is like, okay, so we're going to do this action, we're going to do these action figures. It's not action figures, you collect medals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to do this cartoon series and how we're going to promote it and how the gameplay works. And I think that's something you take time to talk about to the press.
Well, they will also have their own bigger thing going on at
E3. Yeah, well, level 5?
No, not level 5. Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
They will announce the NFC game, I would assume.
Yeah, well, yeah, they said as much. And if it's an NFC game or NFC games, it might be several, because they've already kind of hinted at the fact that it works across multiple games. So it might be like, here, it works in Smash Brothers, it works in 3D, it works in Mario Kart, and here's a game that it's designed around. So that's interesting.
Also, they have a 3DS, let's call it Portal, just because of Skylanders made that
work. Here's how to make money, Nintendo. 3DS NFC compatibility in your mainline Pokemon games.
See, this is, I mean, I could be wrong, but here, this is where I think the problem for Nintendo comes in. is that they tend to be a company that prefers to have an entire experience in a game for you. So far, I mean, I could be mistaken, but almost all of their games are full experiences that you buy for however many bucks they sell. And I think NFC goes against that. So I think, while I think it could be successful, I don't think it will be, because Nintendo's not going to try to... Again, I could be wrong. We'll see at E3. They won't try to nickel and dime you by saying, okay, here's a Pokemon game, and the only way you can collect these is, say, 15 exclusive Pokemon, or by buying these toys down after them in the actual game.
I wouldn't see that, but I couldn't see that, but I could see, for example, well, you can play Pokemon a bunch and unlock these Pokemon, or you could buy this figure and have it right now.
Yeah, I can see that too. That I could see, but even like, how do you market that to people?
I don't know. I don't have to.
Because I mean, even now. Pokemon has always been a grind. Like, you don't expect to get the good Pokemon up front. Like, I guess if you say...
What do you mean you don't expect to get the good Pokemon up front? They start you off with the best Pokemon in the game for the most part.
Okay, outside of your starter, take the legendary Pokemon and the stuff like that are usually near the end game and stuff like that.
The best way to do it would be Pokemon that you can't natively get in the game. So, like, Pokemon that aren't native to X and Y, you can only get importing from older games. That would be a better idea.
I guess it would be better with Ruby and Sapphire. I assume that might be a middle ground where you have Ruby and Sapphire and the Pokemon that were in that, and then maybe something X and Y, but stuff in between that, you might have to be like, oh, you can collect these figures.
You could collect the figures of the Pokemon which are not in your game, so you don't have to trade.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you meant Pokemon that were released later than those games.
No, Pokemon games you can't actually catch in the game that you've got.
But that might actually also be a possible thing, like, do Pokemon which came out in later games, like in X and Y.
I guess the other thing, especially with Pokemon, is like, how do you, because, I mean, there's 750 of them, and they have varying popularity. So, like, do you cut out the ones that are popular to sell them as toys, or... nobody's gonna buy it.
You could just treat them like mystery boxes.
Yeah, I think that's gonna be annoying, especially when there's so many of them. Like, nobody wants to get a Mudkip or a Magikarp.
I want a Mudkip.
I want a Mudkip, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Such dweebs. You know what I mean, though? Never you support Mudkip, though.
Yeah.
Also, I want a Psyduck. If I don't get a Psyduck, Nintendo.
Psyduck,
I will rage.
I think the best way to do it, I think, would be to limit the amount of the Pokemon you can get. So pull really bad ones like Shuckle and stuff out, and make them like a random chance.
I honestly think the best way to do it, and I don't see them doing this because it's probably really hard to balance, is to make a neutral game where you can buy Nintendo figures. Like, you can buy a Mario figure, and you can level them up by playing like a Mario game. You can buy Pokemon figures, you can level them up by playing...
They can make an AR game like that.
Huh?
You could make an AR game like that.
Well, not necessarily an AR game. I find AR games so lame, personally. But, like, something like... It would be... But the problem is, like, I think it would be cool for, like, an RPG where you can, like, recruit Nintendo characters, like a Kingdom Hearts-type game. And, like, you get, like, a core cast of characters. But, like, if you want to unlock a Super Mario special move, you get the Mario figure, and you play 3D World, and it unlocks a special ability for him.
Yeah.
Or you get a Pikachu toy, and you play X and Y, and it unlocks a special Pokemon in the game or something like that. I think that could work, because it gives you a way to play a game. It gives you here's A to B, and you can complete the game as you want. But if you want to see, like, these fun special attacks with the Nintendo characters, you have to buy these figures. And I think that's a way where you don't nickel and dime them. It's also a way to get people to buy older games or newer games so that they can get these new special attacks as well.
Yeah.
But I don't see Nintendo doing that. Because right now, all you usually see, Skylanders and Disney Infinity are both kind of like 3D platformers, action beat 'em ups, I guess. And they're very kind of bare basic games. So I'm kind of curious which direction Nintendo goes with it. And even if it's like a new brand, or if it's just like, oh, here's like a Nintendo Land 2 now you can collect figures in them or something like that.
Yeah, the real question is, how exploitative does Nintendo want to be?
Pretty much.
And again, it's not that they are opposed to being exploitative. I mean, that's basically the design of Pokemon 2 versions, is that you can play this game, but you can't get those other 15 Pokemon from the other one without buying both or having a friend. So
yeah, but if you look at, like, Skylanders, for example, that's way more exploitative than anything Nintendo has ever done.
Yeah, and that, like I said, I think that's their problem. There was a story that Nintendo had the first crack at Skylanders exclusive, and I feel like that was probably their hang-up. It's like, this is a cool idea, but I feel bad for having people to try all these figures to get all of the content that's in the game, and I think that's going to be their hang-up. I mean, granted, we saw the Mercedes-Benz DLC this week, so maybe they are open to these ideas now. We shall see. What else? A lot of their studios are, I guess, in between projects. I think there are a few that we might be able to hear updates on. Mm. I would imagine. I mean, we had Intelligent Systems with Pushmo, but they haven't really done a major game since Paper Mario in 2012. So it's
other than Fire Emblem Awakening,
which was completed the year before, the localization wasn't handled by them. Yeah. That was handled by A4PA. Yeah, no. Yeah, because Fire Emblem came out in...
Are they not doing SMT Fire Emblem, then?
Oh, they might be doing that.
They are doing that, I would assume, yeah.
But I assume they're working with Atlas on that as well?
I think Atlas is just providing the characters.
Oh, okay. So that might be their big game, if that's still an actual thing.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking if we will see that. I'm curious about it.
We honestly know nothing because we saw a teaser, which was just characters and nothing else, a year and a half ago. That's it. Next level games, I could see doing having something ready to show. I don't know if it would come out this year, but maybe next year. Because it's been a year and it's been more than a year since Luigi's Mansion.
But what would that something be?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know. Like, they when Luigi's Mansion came out, they were talking about the fact that they had a game in production for a company before they switched over to Luigi's Mansion. It might have been a concept for Nintendo that they put on the back burner and went back to. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I honestly don't.
There also has been a lot of rumblings about Luigi's Mansion 2 on Wii U.
I was going to ask about that, because we've mentioned in prior weeks, Microsoft has a Halo collection coming out. Rumored to come out. Sony has was remastered. There's rumors of Beyond, and there's rumors of God of War Ascension remasters. It would be funny if Nintendo's the one company who isn't exploiting a remake for the holiday season. So I could see them doing that with like a 3DS game. Maybe that or Kid Icarus Uprising, I think, is the one out of people look to. But it would be a deep...
But that would make Kid Icarus actually a playable game, so that would actually be good.
Yeah, for some people. I we'll see. But yeah, either that, or they mentioned last year that they have the GameCube to Wii U engine, which they did a remake it with, which was able to get them the game in like 6 months. So, you know, maybe we'll see like a Metroid Prime trilogy collection. Or
implying
we'll
Nintendo still remember that Metroid is a thing.
I hate that argument so much. I mean, the last Metroid, it's been, 3 years since the last Metroid game?
Yeah, I know.
I know.
The other thing is always there are these crazy people that want a Majora's Mask remake.
Yeah, which I don't, I mean, I can see that happen.
I don't think they're crazy.
Majora's Mask is terrible, and I don't want N64 remakes on anything.
Well, I would want it.
Well, I can see the second part, but I don't think it's a terrible... I think it's awesome.
Yeah. But you also don't like the Zelda game, so I don't care.
Hey, I'm loving In Between Worlds.
I think the argument for that, though, is that they must have the engine, an engine that can support it, because they have OOT 3D.
Yeah.
So. And it's not even done by them, it's done by Greco. So it's a resource-free type endeavor. The other thing, I'm surprised this hasn't been announced, and I honestly hope it is announced at E3, is Bayonetta. Like, I've really found that would have been...
Well, Bayonetta is announced, you mean you want the release date?
No,
he wants the first Bayonetta.
Oh, the first Bayonetta.
Yeah. Because, I don't agree with people's anger, but I do agree with people's logic that it makes no sense for a sequel to a game that nobody on this platform has paid to come out on the platform. So, they've had, it's been plenty of opportunities where the Wii U lineup has been raised in, where they could have just said we're going to do a Bayonetta remake. Or
Resident Evil 4 came out on the GameCube.
Yeah. And it came out. But they did Resident Evil 0, 1, 2, 3.
Ah, right. They totally did that, right?
Yeah.
I kind of forgot.
Well, I mean, Remake and 0 were different, but 2 and 3 were straight ports.
Yeah, that's right.
And Code Veronica X. Oh, no, it was not on GameCube, was it? I'm stupid.
That was the PlayStation 2 version, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that it's been like, it doesn't even have to be a retail release, do digital or something, like $20, here's Bayonetta to hold you up until Bayonetta 2. But
shouldn't Bayonetta 2 be this year?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, like, it's been 2 years since it's been announced, and no point did they decide, like, we're going to do a Bayonetta port. It doesn't have to be fancy, it doesn't have to add anything. Just do it because it's a great way to fill in your lineup, and it's a great way to kind of get not free marketing, but it's a great way to market this game that you are paying for by having people buy the game that's part of the franchise.
This is one of those things that it's easy, so why not, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those things where it just seems like...
I don't know how easy it is, because have you seen the PS3 version?
Well, okay, I don't think he means it's easy to port. I think he means it's like easy in that sense, that it's a game that's already computed, just need to make sure it runs on your device.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure Nintendo, as far as I know, hasn't done a bad port yet, so they can figure it out. And they're buddies with Sega more than any other third-party company besides Namco, I would imagine. And I don't even get the relationship with Namco. Speaking of, do you see them announcing any type of, I'm not going to say third-party games, any type of third-party collaborations?
No.
Probably not. And if it is, it will be with Namco or Sega, again.
Yeah. I could see them doing that. I don't know what game, or, you know, even if it's a new game, but I do probably see them announcing something that they've kind of cooked up with some third-party. Because Hyrule Warriors is a really out-there one. We've seen Pokemon Conquest, which was out there. Shin Megami X Fire Emblem isn't so much out there, but that was still kind of different. And I can see them announcing something along the lines, especially being that even with the games kind of announced in production, a lot of them are due this year or early next year. And granted, I don't expect the Wii U is going to last too much longer into 2016, but they do need to start filling in the blanks for next year at some point. What about, I guess there are other things, since they really don't have any third-party supporters, with Ubisoft kind of dropping them now, it would be indie games.
Yeah.
We still have to get Shovel Knight.
Don't remind me of that.
I think there's going to be a few indie games. I don't think there'll be a major amount of them.
I also have to wonder how much, like, big screen time they will give them?
Yeah, I don't think they'll give... I think the problem with indie games, and this is... I think I commented on this before, and part of it was Shovel Knight, is that indie games are such a moving target.
Yeah.
Microsoft is pretty decent with it, but like Nintendo, at the start of this year, announced, like, we're going to have all these indie games that's going to come out, and it's like, okay, it's going to come out Q1, it's going to be like February, March. I think Shovel Knight had a release date of March 31st.
Yeah.
And then what happens is, like, the developers don't really account for how much time they actually need, and this game keeps on getting pushed back and back. Like, I can see if Shovel Knight was Nintendo's fault, but it was they just finished kind of it in mid-May. So now you have to get it kind of sorted and certified by the company and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, and it's the same thing. Like, a lot of the games that they announced earlier in the year have been coming out this month, but Nintendo's kind of pushed them for early in the year, especially when they didn't have much between Donkey Kong and Mario Kart. And it's like, oh, none of you hit your release dates, and we kind of gave you a push before, because they did have, like, an indie-focused direct, and they had, like, the indie-cade interviews and trailers and stuff like that. And it's like...
Yeah, they did. I'm just saying, I don't know how much they will do in this Nintendo E3 thing.
Oh, I don't expect them to, because I could be mistaken, I don't even think they have a press...
It just doesn't seem like they... it still doesn't seem like they take this as serious as, for example, Sony does.
No, I think Nintendo, right or wrong, still believes that the best people for Nintendo are Nintendo, and their focus will always be on them. I mean, even back in, I don't want to say the Wii days, because those were kind of iffy, but Wii days and GameCube days, like, most of their press conferences was focused on Nintendo titles and not necessarily third-party titles. Like, you'll get some of the bigger ones had stage presence if it was exclusive or it had Nintendo-specific content, but usually it was just, like, here's a scissor roll of games coming, and then let's go back to what makes us great, which is Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Anything else you can think of with Nintendo? Do you think we'll see a non-specific action figure game?
It would be funny if that was actually an NFC figure. I give them that. But, I don't know. Will Nintendo have something for me? You know which franchise I like.
And this is the problem, is the question you have to ask is, will Nintendo have something for me? And if I ignore Pokemon, because that's an easy thing to say, I don't think they will.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see New F-Zero, Star Fox, or Metroid happening at this point.
I don't either.
Why not a Metroid?
Well, I could see a Metroid on the 3DS, possibly. I could, like I said, I could even see like a Metroid Prime Trilogy collection for the Wii U. I think, I mean, it's a crapshoot, and I think this E3 will kind of determine the future of the Wii U. And I know that's weird because it's already kind of, I don't mean it in the sense that, oh, this is going to be one where they kind of get announced the games that they're going to announce that's going to ride the system back. I mean, more like, are we going to get the end of GameCube Nintendo, which is just like, we'll throw Mario in anything with Mario Party 7 and 8, 6 and 7, Mario Party, you know, Mario Soccer, Mario Baseball, Mario Tennis, stuff like Mario and EA, Mario and SSX, or are we going to get the mid-tier Nintendo from the GameCube where you got stuff like Geist and Eternal Darkness, and it's like, we'll just go batshit insane and we'll do anything we want because it doesn't really matter what's on. You know, you got the war game that was controlled by microphone and was a pinball game. You got, you know, that's where you got Animal Crossing, you got Cubivore, all that other stuff. So, it depends.
I still want the Nintendo that gave me a Zero X.
When that would have been the GameCube Nintendo.
Yeah.
The ones that are just like, you know, whatever, we'll try something, see how it works. Or
it was Sega that gave that to you, but
I mean, Nintendo,
yeah.
Fine. But, I mean,
but Nintendo has to say,
yeah,
Sega, hey, that's
a
game for us.
Yeah, but is it going to be the Nintendo that just heavily relies on putting Mario in anything because they know it sells? Or is it going to be the ones who just kind of given up, so we'll just throw stuff to the wall, and if anything sticks, it sticks. If not, we gave you this game. Like, you know, we'll see. And I think that's going to be what's going to be the story with them at E3, at least for me, is which one we'll get. I like the latter better, the ones that's just kind of insane and throw anything to the wall, because you get fun experiments. Not always great and polished games, but you get fun experiments. The other one, you get fun games, but it's kind of like, how many Mario games can you get in 1 year? Mario DDR. I do own that one.
Of course you do.
Oh, I won't deny it. I was that GameCube guy. I was the one who owned Mario Tennis and Mario Baseball, Mario Soccer, Mario Party 6 and 7, and Mario DDR. I'm never going to deny that. I mean, if...
At that point, I think I abandoned my GameCube.
Yeah, and so did Nintendo. I mean, honestly, that was what it was. It's like, well, these are your cost efforts. I said, if you want to see if Nintendo's going to abandon it, just count how many Mario games, and if there's a Kirby game, because Kirby's usually like, well, we'll give up. It's a cheap game to make. We'll put it out there. Kirby came out at the end of the Wii. Kirby's Air Ride came out at the end of the GameCube. Kirby 64 came out at the end of the N64. Stuff like that.
Are you saying the 3DS is done because Kirby's Triple Deluxe came out?
I actually do think that's kind of the case here, because a lot of that 3DS stuff, Smash Brothers was in development much longer than that. Pokemon's a remake, and everything else is kind of Japanese.
Yeah, and I really think that the 3DS is entering its swan song phase at this point.
Yeah, and it probably should. I mean, I do think it's going to be, it's what, 3.5 years now, and I do think that there just isn't enough third-party support, because, you know, like, I, you know, not necessarily like the mobile market's eating it, but that is where a lot of those games that would have kind of filled in your lineup has gone. So
I think the problem with the 3DS is more the fact that it's kind of underpowered.
I don't even think it's a power thing. I mean, when you compare it to, again, it's not. It would be one thing if the Vita was kicking ass. It's another thing if it really. It's just that.
Well, I think it's a case.
No,
of,
I get what Daniel's saying.
It's
though.
A case
it's
of
like,
the 3DS is overpowered and it has a lackluster digital infrastructure because the indies are fucking flying on the Vita. They can't make 3DS games.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem, if I'm not mistaken, is that it doesn't support Unity, or it really can't support Unity well, which means like, it's not even like oh, we have this Wii U game in development, we can just kind of do a 3DS version as well, because I mean right now the fan base is like 8-1 or something like that, so it'd make more sense to put it on the 3DS. So yeah, I mean this is why you know some indie developers like the Shovel Knight developers are like make your own engine, but it's like you're getting taken forever to come out. We can use Unity, cut down prices, and Nintendo gives us a free license.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think that the 3DS is kind of entering its, like, we'll get games and it's going to close for the next year, but I don't really see much effort from Nintendo as far as like a brand new game or something, you know, riveting or anything like that. And yeah, I don't necessarily think anybody's going to mind a shorter one. I do wonder what they do with the next handheld.
I mean,
and
it's also not that outrageous.
I don't think we'll see
the
next handheld until we see the Wii U successor. Or soon.
I think we'll see. The handheld successor will give us an idea of what to expect with the Wii U successor. And I do think
they've already said they want to have a shared development platform between the two.
I also think the next handheld will probably function as a Wii U gamepad. Or a substitute for the Wii U gamepad.
Yeah.
I wanted to add that it's also not that outrageous to think that the 3DS lifespan will be a bit shorter. I mean, it happened with the GBA.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if they have a good idea or an idea they think. Because, I mean, honestly, I like the 3DS, but the main hook of it, the 3D, it works in some games, but it's not really a system move or anything. And I do think they might abandon the dual screen approach because I think it's just something we've got accustomed to. It's not different.
The hard thing about that is, though, if you don't have the dual screen anymore,
it screws up backwards compatibility.
Exactly. And but that's the thing that Nintendo is very fond of, it seems.
I think, I mean, maybe they'll do something like what Sony did and offer some type of, well, I guess you couldn't even do that.
Yeah, because if you don't have two screens, how would you even do it?
Yeah, I wonder if that's what they're trying to do with people, trying to get them accustomed to playing like the DS on the Wii U. So it's like, oh, we can't give you this backwards compatibility on your handheld, but we'll allow you to play your games or digitize them to play on your home console or something like that. It's going to be interesting to see the transition because I do think it's about time they abandon that because it's fun, but it's not, like right now, it's become the norm. Like we kind of, you know, the second screen experience is something everybody pushes. And like they've had some novel ideas, but I think their novel ideas, because they've been working with it for 10 years, have kind of run out and everybody else has kind of done them already or done them better or, you know, like it's cheaper. Like, you know, Brain Age isn't a thing anymore because you can get those games on your mobile device for free or for a buck or two. And some of the Art Academy games, not Art Academy, the Art Styles, Touch Generation games, there we go, are the same way. So, yeah, I do see them, like I said, because we have Monster Hunter next year. I assume a couple of the Japanese games that were announced for this year and stuff like that will probably get them through the early part of 2014. And I would imagine that they would probably have a new handheld ready to go in early 2016.
Yeah.
I think that might be too late. Like, I would probably try to push for fall 2015. But I think with their focus also on the quality of life device, which we didn't talk about, because I honestly don't expect that to be at E3.
Yeah, probably not.
I think for that, because I think they said that's a 2016 product right now, so I wonder if they will have the games for that. And that's the other problem with backwards compatibility is it does help in the early parts of the generation, especially when there isn't a ton of games coming out, to say, like, oh, you can play all these old games, or you can catch up on this game or that game, and if you kind of drop that, it's going to be interesting. Maybe they'll have a second screen add-on.
Like a Circle Pad Pro type
thing. Yeah. Yeah. Like, they'll sell you a base system for like $150, and you go buy a second screen for like $100 if you want to play your 3DS games.
I mean, I wouldn't care that much if backwards compatibility is gone, but I mean, I would care a little bit because the transition phase is always hard.
Yeah.
But I would agree that the second screen, I don't want to call it gimmick, but the second screen thing has kind of run its course.
Yeah. Yeah. I would also think what's going to help them, or might help them, is the fact that Sony and Microsoft have kind of abandoned backwards compatibility, and we've kind of went with it. So, granted, you still kind of expect it in handhelds, because the Vita is still backwards compatible with, not backwards compatible with all PSP games, but it is like with the digital library, for the most part. And, yeah, I see that being a huge thing for them. I really don't know what they're going to do with it, and I think they should stay in that low-end strategy, but it's a market that's very crowded. Maybe they'll do like an Ouya or a Shield.
Oh, God. I hope not. Unless they want another product to fail.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like you said, I think the main focus on this year is making sure that the Wii U remains Wii U turns profitable, and the 3DS continues to sell at a decent clip. And I think they're going to do that mostly through, a few retail titles, but more indie titles. Like, I see a lot of stuff. Like, I can probably see us, like, you folks are going to enter Inazuma Go, and we just got one, so I can see them doing like 2 and 3 just throughout this year. For us,
I really have no idea why they didn't just release the 1 through 3 collection that came out in Japan and US.
Because you can't sell it 3 times that way.
Yeah. But what I mean? It's just.
Oh, no, I get what you mean.
You were just so far behind on these games.
It's definitely weird because the anime aired ages ago here.
Yeah.
So even on TV
as well.
Yeah, so it's like. It's a weird. Granted, it's not their property, so they didn't have control of it. But yeah, it's especially weird since it was a popular DS game, and Band Brothers. I can see them doing that again, or whatever. So yeah, any final thoughts on Nintendo at E3?
Time Splitters 4.
No.
As I told somebody yesterday, I don't even think Crytek knows what a Wii U is.
The problem with Time Splitters is that
I'm gonna predict it for every single platform.
Look, Jason, this is the thing that will get you to shut up about Time Splitters 4, right? Time Splitters was always about gameplay over graphics, and that doesn't make any sense to Crytek. So
yeah. Also they have this small team working on this Time Splitters thing. I think it's
fan group. It's just a mod for the CryEngine.
Yeah, and they are allowed to call it Time Splitters. And when something like that happens, you can be pretty sure they have no interest in actually doing something themselves.
Yeah. I think. Oh, we can wrap this up and we'll talk about this off air because I think it speaks to the entire industry. We'll be back next week. I actually want to try to get this show out next week by Sunday, because the first E3 press conference is on Monday at 12, I want to say, 12 Eastern, 9 specific.
Wait, really? It's a Monday?
Yeah, it's a
week.
Shit,
I'm not at home on Monday. Fuck.
Oh, so you're going to miss, you'll probably miss Microsoft.
Really?
Sony's is fantastic for people in Europe because I believe it's like 4 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch that live. No chance in hell.
I'm watching that in a movie theater. But yes, we'll do the rundown next week, but just in case you're listening into this and we don't put it up next Monday, Microsoft, I believe, starts at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time on Monday, June 9th. EA's after that at, I want to say, 2-3 p.m. Eastern, and I think Ubisoft is at 6 p.m. Eastern. Sony's is that Monday night, the same June 9th, at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And then Nintendo's the next day at 12 p.m. Eastern time, June 10th. And those are the big 4 press conferences for this year. So, yeah. I want is, you know, for Jason, Daniel, Martin, and myself, this has been Dual World Episode 143.